So it's more of an education one-to-one talk when you bring them in a facility from all different disciplines, different scenarios and areas where you can treat your loved one. Assisted living, it's more of the administrator, if they have director of nursing, if they have a case manager, if they have, maintenance person that are talking to them all together.
Out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. We are talking today about fall prevention in assisted living facilities. I think it's a little bit different than in skilled nursing and nursing homes. And so we're going to have a really great conversation about this topic with the fantastic Cassandra Placier. So she'll be here to walk us through that process. But up first is the nursing home regulation question of the week. And once again, your opportunity to win a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast coffee mug. How do I get that, you might ask? Well, it's extremely easy. You're going to go to our TikTok, which is at Justice for Residents, at Justice for Residents. You're going to find this question of the week thumbnail, which is you're looking for, I guess, either a plate or a bowl of fettuccine Alfredo. You find the fettuccine Alfredo, you click on it, you comment your answer, as well as your favorite type of pasta. My favorite type of pasta, hands down, is fettuccine, cooked Alfredo. My mother makes the best fettuccine Alfredo. It's like 1,000 calories an ounce. Like, I don't know, it's just butter, cheese, noodles, never from scratch. You kidding me? No way. From the box, cut them in half, put them in there, put the butter on it. It's the best. My mother makes it. Don't do anything either. And you put all the only thing you're putting on it is Parmesan cheese, shredded Parmesan cheese on top. Maybe even the powder Parmesan cheese that comes in the green thing. That's the best pasta. Anyway, you're going to go TikTok, in comment, whatever it is. The winner is announced on Sunday at TikTok and on our website, shrinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. Prizes will ship at the end of the month. Good luck. This week, I'm going to say the difficulty level is extremely easy. Gene, I really feel like, has been slack on drafting these questions. And usually at the last second, I'm editing them so that they make sense and that are in they're coherent, because usually they're not. But I'm not doing that this week. I'm just too tired. This is the last episode I'm filming in this particular day. So I'm just going to read it as is. And to me, this seems extremely easy, borderline silly. So if you get it right, actually make yourself a bowl of fettuccine Alfredo. It'd be delicious. Under 42 CFR 483.73A1, what must be included in a facility's emergency plan? Is it A, a weather-only emergency checklist, B, a risk assessment using an all-hazards approach, or C, a list of all staff home addresses? That answer is clearly B, a risk assessment using an all-hazards approach, meaning that the nursing home should be prepared or trying to prepare for all types of reasonable emergency situations. All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes and fettuccine Alfredo of the episode. We're talking about falls and fall prevention in assisted living, and we have Cassandra Placier as our guest to walk us through it. Cassandra is a healthcare professional with over 12 years of nursing experience, specializing in geriatric care across various settings. A graduate of Florida A&M University, she has served as a wellness director and regional clinical specialist for assisted living communities. Cassandra is a certified ALF core trainer and CPR first aid instructor, committed to staff education and quality care. Her leadership and passion for elderly advocacy make her a respected voice in long-term care. And we're so happy to have her on the show. Cassandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So I guess kind of the first thing would be, how are the falls in an assisted living facility happening? Kind of what are the common causes for those?
So a lot of people who move into assisted living, they already have falls at home. So the families bring them into assisted living to say, okay, maybe the assisted living is designed because it's smaller room, smaller space to prevent fall prevention. It's kind of hard because of reasons why residents fall. So it's a lot of reasons that go into falling, even down to when they set up the room, how they set it up, a trip hazard, a little things that can make them slip and fall as well in the community they are in.
I see. So I guess at least if it's an individual's kind of first admission to an assisted living facility, it's kind of like a new environment, and that in itself could be a potential hazard because they're not used to it.
Correct. It's like they say, hospitals where you hear when you go to hospital, you have this disorientation syndrome. It's the same thing when you're moving to ALF. It's new surroundings. You have to get acclimated. So with that's usually the first night for some residents who move into a assisted facility. They fall that night because you take them out of a room that's very spacious and you put them in a little smaller one where they keep the same bed, the same rug, and they're trying to get acclimated, as you were saying, and they trip the first day, the first night they're in the ALF.
Let's say that we have a new admit to an assisted living facility, and we have assessed that resident, the new resident, as a high risk for fall. What are some of the interventions that you're going to be able to put into place for that particular resident at an assisted living facility?
It's what the family brings in. So I could take an example, the rugs that I keep mentioning. I will tell families bring non-slip rugs or just the rugs at all, or their bed. The height of the bed, the size of the bed makes it gonna give them as much ample space where they can move. If they have ambulations, they can use their rolling walker or their wheelchair. So more space to make able to move around. Now with the physician's order, you can also has position for them in the bed, by the bed to help. Those are things that I see when they move in that I can say, okay, they're a fall risk. Let's implement, especially at nighttime, night lights, anything that makes the room brighter because sometimes they're unable to turn the light off because they have to walk to turn the light off. So you want to make sure it's nice, safe, spacious, clutter-free, because that's another thing when they move in, they bring everything from their home. So you want to say remain clutter-free, keep it where it's bright for them, even to have a pathway if they have to go to restroom, lay down, sit in the area if there is a living room accommodations and so forth.
What role, if any, does the continence level of the resident play with respect to the likelihood of falls?
For the continence level, what happens is if they're incontinent, they have to make sure that the staff there is coming to them depending how much voiding they're going to the restroom. So let's say someone is taking a diuretic. A diuretic is a medication that makes them use the bathroom more because it releases the fluid retention. So that person will need more assistance going to the room, transferring, changing them, make sure they have enough supplies, incontinence supplies, to make sure they don't have that urge to get up and that's where they fall. Or you can have a commode because some people, where they, well, pull-ups or briefs, they have a bedside commode that you can put that is in with reach that they can walk to and sit safely. And this, prevents fall precautions as well.
Speaking of staff assistance, what's some of the what role, I guess, is a better word? What role does staff play in the prevention of falls in assisted living?
Well, it's the same thing when staff comes in, when staff meets the resident, they know everything about the resident. So, for example, we'll say this person's a fall precaution. They'll go in their room, they'll do extra checks because the standard supervision where you have to know the whereabouts and check the residents at all times. So, they'll go in the room and they'll look at these areas and they'll come to the administration and say, hey, we recognize there's some things that are hazardous that can cause this resident to potential to have more falls. This person's incontinent. I'm taking to the bathroom. I'm taking them to the restroom every hour. I'm changing them on a frequent basis. So, their role is more than just hands-on, they're observers, they're reporters, so we can keep that person safe and make sure, the falls are decreased when they move into assisted living facility.
I feel like just by the very definition of assisted living, that there is a tendency to be less aggressive with fall risk interventions as opposed to a nursing home where you get into the nitty gritty of, you know, rounding, toileting programs, sensors, you know, like mats, these type of things. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely, because skilled nursing, as we know, is more of an institutionalized environment where assisted living facility, the basis of it is to make it home-like, to make it like it's their home. So families take that and they put everything there, you know, because they're emptying out their loved ones apart and they're starting fresh new in a facility so they can continue. So I believe it is lax because of that, because of the perception of how ALF should be.
So how can a family, what advice would you have for a family that has moved a loved one into an assisted living facility for the first time? Maybe they are worried about their loved one falling.
So there's a couple things. It's not just only the things they bring into, it's the body mechanics. So for example, someone has Parkinson's disease, you have to say, are you getting therapy for them? Are you reviewing their medications? Because they're a fall risk at home doesn't mean they will not be a fall risk in the ALF. So I tell them to make sure that they always have therapy. They can continue therapy in ALF when they come in. Stuff, even down to wearing the appropriate shoes, because you have residents where families bring them sandals that are not non-slipped or high heels residents still wear as well. And you have to say, you know, at this environment, they do a lot of walking. And sometimes it could be a trip hazard just coming out the room. So accommodate their clothing as well to look at that, know their medication, keep up with doctor's appointments, keep up with home health, third party services, and et cetera.
I think that's a through line in the episodes of this show is that typically the more family involvement there is and the more the family is educated on the baseline of their loved one, what's in the care plan, these type of things, there's a tendency that the resident is safer.
Absolutely. And the thing sometimes with the care plans, that's why in skilled nursing, you're sitting, you're having that social worker, you have the care planning with all disciplines, where when they're moving in to an assisted living, you have the marker that gives them the tour, that lets them know the lay of the land. And then the care plan comes into a point where you're moving them in and someone's the advocate for them, like a director of nursing or the administrator, to say, we will institute these things. Make sure the room is safe for your loved one. Make sure you bring the appropriate things that are needed for your loved one, because this is a new environment. And the first thing that can happen is the possible fall within the first 24, 48 hours. So it's something that you have to really sit and educate the families. When you do the policies, the contracts, or anything, house rules, you know, you discuss the assistive devices, if they have any, make sure they're in good condition, make sure all that's known, because a lot of families are not educated, especially people who have loved ones locally and they live far away. They're just coming to really move them in. So it's more of an education one-to-one talk when you bring them in a facility as a skilled nursing, where they're sitting and you have a care plan with all the disciplines saying, hey, from all different disciplines, different scenarios and areas where you can treat your loved one. Assisted living is more of the administrator, if they have director of nursing, if they have a case manager, if they have, you know, maintenance person that are talking to them all together.
It's interesting that I hear you say that a lot of falls happen within the first 48 hours. I feel like the onus is on the facility to try to get ahead of that. If we know that that is a higher likelihood, what are we doing to prevent it then? Like, is it more monitoring in the first couple of days, or?
I've had instances where that happened. If I know a resident's coming to my facility when I was a former director of nursing, and I saw they had fall precautions, I would tell the family, maybe you can have a private duty aide the first night to be around them so we can get used to their patterns. Because every individual is different. When you move in the first 48, you can have someone who doesn't sleep at night, right, that takes naps and more active. And if the staff is not used to it, the facility is not used to it, they can get a wander and fall because they're not used to it. So it's basically you're welcoming them, you make suggestions, you have a system. So those are the way, because it's hard to take each and every individual that comes in and take a snapshot, because there's someone that can never fall, has never fallen, ambulates with no assistive device, walks into the facility, falls within 24 hours, and has a hip fracture. And the family says, where did I go wrong? I brought them here to make sure they're safe. Again, anyone who changes, orientation changes sometimes, body mechanics change sometimes. It's just something that's unavoidable, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess as so long as the appropriate assessment is there, it's timely, the interventions are in place based on the assessment, and you revise the assessment as you go along. I mean, like, you can't prevent every single fall. It's impossible.
No, you can't prevent it. And that's something families miss, where, again, they say, my loved one fell at home 5 times. I'm bringing them to your assistive living facility, and now you're calling to tell me that they're falling again. Yeah. There's nothing you can do. There really isn't. You just keep them safe. Like you said, keep revision with the care plan, notify the PCP of the increased falls, have home health therapy come in. You do the best you can to keep that resident safe.
Very well said. Well, Cassandra, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, folks, I hope that you found this episode educational, perhaps entertaining. If you have an idea for something that you would like for me to talk about that's long-term care related, let me know. If you have an idea for a guest that you'd like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. Be sure to enter the contest to win the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug and comment your favorite pasta. Could be macaroni and cheese. That's a good runner-up for me. Could be cold pasta, cold macaroni. Whatever you want, just put it in there. Let's get rid of these mugs. Let's do it. Let's do this together. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.